Once again, Mark Stanton Welch here, and this is Tools for the Times. We are in Block 3, Session 4. This is Embracing the New Paradigms of Belief, and this is the first exercise or application session. And I say first because it looks to me like, based on what I've come up with, we're going to be doing this for just a couple times. It is so important, and it's such a foundational element, actually, like all of them are, but after we've come so far, and we are in a position now to really work, develop a strategy for working with beliefs to alter some of these things and keep the patterns in place and some of these energies and some of these neural pathways, it would be less than fortuitous to leave, to leave behind that opportunity. Thank you for joining us. Just a reminder, *6, your phone. And we're already in process, and the recording is going. So I wanted to start off with a song that I wrote in June of 2012, just before that end of the world. And it definitely has to do with what we're talking about tonight. It's called Belief. People used to think that the world was flat. They would never go out afraid and never come back. They held their belief so strongly. And they held their belief so strongly. And we grew up believing that the way things were the way they'd be forever and ever. And we held our belief so strongly. And we held our belief so strongly. It's a world of change, and it's very strange that so many are afraid of this world of change. So here we are now in a pivotal time when the way it's been is in decline, and the things we believe are falling. And the things we believe are falling. For the way to be strong is to learn to let go, and the more you release, the more you flow. Can you believe what I'm saying? Can you believe what I'm saying? It's a world of change, and it's very strange that so many are afraid of this world of change. So hear me now and I sing to you. It's a revolution coming through. It's a beautiful light and a sweeping wave. Breathe it in right now. Surrender resistance, claim your space. It's a magical time for the human race. A world reborn, a time of grace. Breathe it in right now. Breathe it in right now. Just breathe it in right now. It's a world of change, and it's very strange that so many are afraid of this world of change. Are you willing, are you ready to live a new life with an open heart and a limitless mind? Will you build your beliefs on love? Will you build your beliefs on love? Yes, I will build my beliefs, I'll build my beliefs on love. Yes, I will build my beliefs. Build my beliefs on love. You know that people used to think the world was flat. They would never go out afraid and never come back. So, beliefs are like that. Holding, clinging, clutching. They seem that they're such friends, that they've been with us for so long, for so many incarnations. Some of these things keep recycling themselves through the culture, through the society, through the literature, through the art, through the music. These ideas of the way things are, of how life is to us. And what seems to be happening is the more we become aware, the more we raise our vibration, the more these things that we've believed in for so long seem so shallow. Because they are. There's no other way around it. It's just what it is. Part of working through beliefs is to claim things and to name them for what they are. Not to create any kind of additional fear, because once again, I said this in the last call, I believe, is that the more I learn, the more I am aware of how things are, if you will, the better I feel about being in this world. Because I don't feel like I can be taken advantage of with some of these strategies. And so what it's done, it's allowed me to soften into life and to enjoy my moments even more so than ever before. I'm not afraid of things falling down and things falling apart, because they're happening all the time on so many different levels right now. And the closer I stay to the moment and the closer I honor the reaction I have and then look from the higher perspective in the middle of that reaction, or at least on the other side, then the more I am able to flow with the moment and get the gift of it. Because if indeed my higher self is orchestrating my moments to give me the best possibility, the best situation, the best characters to learn about who I am and to reclaim the essence of who I am so I can stand in that frequency and be in alignment so that the world opens up for me, then I'm going to want to be in that space as often as possible and view the world through those eyes. I've always felt like a fish out of water to some degree in terms of this particular incarnation. Everything, not everything, but so many things seem very different to me. Maybe it's where the circumstances of which I was born. Maybe it's the frequency of what I came here with. Maybe it's the parental units, as I love to call them, who influenced me and infiltrated me with information and perspectives and experiences that pushed me and pulled me and sent me in many different directions, but ultimately allowed me to return as close to home as I possibly can so far. And for that, I'm very grateful. And I could also sit down and complain about it and bring up some very raw emotion about some of these things. But the greater gift is the awareness that, you know what, I really don't have to subscribe to what it is that I've been taught to be. Because as the more clear and higher in vibration we get, the more we have access to this beautiful capacity of discernment. And through discernment, we utilize essentially all of our chakras to get a really holistic look at whatever is happening in the moment so that we can, one, experience it, respond to it, two, and then three, open up to it, and four, remember who we are, and five, embrace it and experience it on a deeper level, and then make it a part of the juice of life. Why not? I wanted to start tonight. I haven't stopped researching this topic, and I remember when I postponed, I was in the middle of reading a particular thing and learning about it, but even that still seems premature, and that's why I wanted to extend it another week in terms of doing exercises. I have plenty for us to do tonight, as you'll see on the page when you access it, and we're going to go through as much as we can. The one section on additional exercises is probably the one that we'll spend most of our time next time with, because those are the ones that are getting into more specific techniques. But I found something in a book here that's called Hardwiring Happiness, The New Brain Science of Contentment, Calm, and C. I don't know what the other C word is, but I'll let you know at some point. It's not showing up on my, wait a minute, I'll turn it like this. And confidence is what it is. Okay. I'll give you the author. It's actually in the resources page there.
It's just a reminder of some things and a beautiful explanation. I'm simply going to read the text of what this person has said. The brain is the organ that learns. So it is designed to be changed by your experiences. It still amazes me, but it's true. Whatever we repeatedly sense and feel and want and think is slowly but surely sculpting neural structure. As you read this and the five cups of tofu like tissue inside your head nested amid a trillion support cells, 80 to 100 billion neurons are signaling one another in a network with about half a quadrillion connections called synapses. All this incredibly fast, complex, and dynamic neural activity is continually changing your brain. Active synapses become more sensitive. New synapses start growing within minutes. Busy regions get more blood since they need more oxygen and glucose to do their work. And genes inside neurons turn on or off. Meanwhile, less active connections wither away in a process sometimes called neural Darwinism, the survival of the busiest. All mental activity, sights, sounds, thoughts, feelings, conscious and unconscious processes is based on underlying neural activity. Much mental and therefore neural activity flows through the brain like ripples on a river with no lasting effects on its channel. But intense, prolonged, or repeated mental neural activity, especially if it is conscious, will leave an enduring imprint in neural structure, like a surging current reshaping a riverbed. As they say in neuroscience, neurons that fire together wire together. Mental states become neural traits. Day after day, your mind is building your brain. And this is what the scientists call experience-dependent neuroplasticity, which is a hot area of research these days. For example, London taxi drivers memorizing the city's spaghetti snarl of streets have thickened neural layers in their hippocampus, the region that helps make visual spatial memories. As if they were building a muscle, these drivers worked a part of their brain and grew new tissue. Moving from the cab to the cushion, mindfulness meditators have increased gray matter, which means a thicker cortex, in three key regions: prefrontal areas behind the forehead that control attention, the insula, which we use for tuning into ourselves and others, and the hippocampus. Your experiences don't just grow new synapses, remarkable as that is by itself, but also somehow reach down into your genes, into little strips of atoms and the twisted molecules of DNA inside the nuclei of neurons, and change how they operate. For instance, if you routinely practice relaxation, this will increase the activity of genes that calm down stress reactions, making you more resilient. And finally, it says, if you step back from the details of the studies, one simple truth stands out. Your experiences matter, not just for how they feel in the moment, but for the lasting traces they leave in your brain. Your experiences of happiness, worry, love, and anxiety can make real changes in your neural networks. The structure-building processes of the nervous system are turbocharged by conscious experience, and especially by what's in the foreground of your awareness. Your attention is like a combination spotlight and vacuum cleaner. It highlights what it lands on and then sucks it into your brain, for better or for worse. The brain takes its shape from what the mind rests upon. If you keep resting your mind on self-criticism, worries, grumbling about others, hurts, and stress, then your brain will be shaped into greater reactivity, vulnerability to anxiety and depressed mood, a narrow focus on threats and losses, and inclinations toward anger, sadness, and guilt. On the other hand, if you keep resting your mind on good events and conditions, someone was nice to you, there's a roof over your head, pleasant feelings, the things you do get done, physical pleasures, and your good intentions and qualities, then over time your brain will take a different shape, one with strength and resilience hardwired into it, as well as a realistically optimistic outlook, a positive mood, and a sense of worth. Looking back over the past week or so, where has your mind been resting mainly? I think that's a really beautiful explanation of what's going on in there without getting too scientific and too off the wall. Repetition creates results. We are a result of thoughts and experiences that we have had that brought us to this moment in time. We are saddled with beliefs that worked for a moment when they were put into place based upon the child's need to survive in a land of giants, and yet many of them have played out over and over and over. And we continually, most likely, beat ourselves up for something that we find deep within the recesses of our being, a belief that told us in order to survive, we had to actually take this one on. But what's so exciting in these times is with the neuroplasticity idea, with the neurosculpturing, we can actually go in and create a different brain. We can impact it to such a degree that we can reprogram ourselves on many levels to have a very different life. So this is why I underscore certain elements here, like awareness. And there is a section in here called Using Awareness to Facilitate the Change of Beliefs. So I'm going to go to that and read to you the information that's there. Just a bit more information, and then we'll get into these very specific activities that I had intended for the evening. And thank you for that. Like so many elements and tools for the times, it comes down to a foundation of awareness. The playground of change is the now moment. If we have developed the capacity to pay attention within and without, then we have the potential to change, to do something different that will shatter energetic forms to magnetize new possibilities. Life is a continuous series of alterations, of course, that reveal us to ourselves. What do you see? What do you attend to? Are the old beliefs and habits so strong that you do not look elsewhere or even entertain alternatives? Is it likely that you, being invested in this course, are not the type who is uninterested in awakening or resistant to walking a new path? But what is your level of awareness? For here is the fertile ground of the life you deserve to live. And this is the foundation. So it's a become aware. This is a must. Become aware of your body. Notice the sensations, the calls, the pains, the aches, the buzzing, the numbness, the irritations, the diseases, the zingers, the callings, the whisperings, all of it. For this is communication from the storehouse of energetic residue, toxic energy that contains the woundings, the abuses, the mistakes, the unsaid. Become aware of your feelings and emotions, because this also is the language of the body that points you towards the reservoirs of the unexpressed that are pulling your vibration down to solidification and identification with dis-ease. The feelings are also the language of the inner child self. Every time you ignore the calling, you tell the little one she is not worthy of value or valued. Notice the sensations of the feeling, the location, the movement, how it responds to attention. Learn how to consciously support and move the energy. Know the situations that trigger the emotion. Pay attention to where your conscious self goes when emotion arises. Look into the programming you have had by those around you regarding emotions and your relationship with them. Watch for knee-jerk responses to the moment. This is a visceral indicator of toxic residue attached to a thought, belief, or pattern. Become aware of your thoughts. Here is where you begin the programming you have bought into and believe. What thoughts are automatic? Become aware of them. Which thoughts reinforce the programming? Notice them. Catch them in action. What thoughts cement your relationship with limitations? Which thoughts support your family beliefs and patterns, the social, the community, and the cultural patterns? Become aware of what situations trigger the thoughts. Become aware of your patterns and beliefs. These are the direct result of the repetition of thoughts. They are reinforced through expectation and emotion. Use awareness to catch them in motion. Notice what triggered them. Notice where you go when you're in the middle of them. Notice what you do. who you connect with, what you feed your senses. For here is where the reinforcement is happening. Be aware if you think these repetitive learned behaviors are who you are, or who you think you are, right? And finally, be aware of how the world shows up for you. Watch the nuances of the forms of your moments, for they will surely show you where you are putting your attention. What kinds of people are you attracting? What are the situations? What are the similarities that keep happening? What are your consistent responses to the forms? What do you say and intend? What are the results of the words and the intentions? The universe gives you what you ask for through thought, word, deed, and emotion. It's as simple as that. Awareness gives you a point of choice. Once you've identified the pattern and the belief that sustains the self-inflicted wounding, noticing the profound inner communication will result in a flood of new insights to address the form, provided there is an openness and a willingness to consider and, more importantly, act upon the messages. This is really important, that the understanding that the awareness gives you the point of choice. That's what this work has done, is give you a choice. Sure, a lot of things have gone on, a lot of information has opened up areas, but really what it's done is revealed to you the memory, the remembrance of the fact that you are here and you can choose your own personal reality. But the choice is just the beginning. To make that choice, it says identify the pattern and the belief that sustains the self-inflicted wounding. And notice the profound inner communication that will result in a flood of new insights to address the form, provided there is an openness and a willingness to consider and, more importantly, act upon the messages. This is a process that keeps revealing itself in its own unique way to each of us. The more we open to the ideas, the more is revealed to each of us on our own. From those revelations that come in those moments, that is the place of the new idea that gives us a new direction. It changes the energy so that we can find and undermine the belief systems and the elements that have kept our patterns in place. It's a beautiful process. And really, it doesn't take full consciousness to do. It takes, one, the movement towards, the willingness to claim and take action on things. And it's like building a momentum that will be taken over by the impetus, by the energy of the body and the bodies and the energetic self to keep it in place. And all we have to do is check in and pay attention to the messages that are so lovingly delivered to our conscious self. But we can't do that if our belief system is so messed up that we won't even entertain the possibility that things are different than the way they've been. I guess you wouldn't be here if you felt that. It requires attention, repetition, and the monitoring of results and the adjustments to create a new strategy over and over and over in order to redirect the energy of change. It is a spiral that is repeated but at a higher vibration and awareness, revealed by the frequency of the new vibration. One has to be open and want to be different. See the value of letting go of the familiar that simply does not work. There is much to be gained by shifting the way things have been. Personal awakening is supported by also asking for and receiving help from the seen and unseen forces aligned with your frequency. By all means, use all your resources to facilitate the life that is calling and is waiting for you. I keep underscoring these elements because they are so critical. When we start to feel good, we get lulled into not paying attention. We pay attention to different things. We pay attention to the idea of feeling good and just experience that. What then happens is often that old energies begin to infiltrate into the consciousness or into the unconscious self, where they begin to redirect our joy and our complete bliss back to the familiar places of where we buy into the life of discomfort and pain and limitation. It is part of the collective vibration of the times to be in transition through these elements. It is inevitable that we spend more time in the place of calling and paying attention to and thus calling into our life higher vibrational experiences, which we can call good times, good things, as opposed to holding on to things that are limitations to us. Okay. The other piece of information has to do with neurosculpting. And I did, which I'm only doing for this program here, I'm really completely copying a section from a book because why recreate something that's been done so well? The first part isn't, but the second part as far as the exercises that I'm suggesting that you consider on your own are a direct take from the book. And I will own that straight up, and it is indicated in there, the source from whence it came. But I see it as so useful that I wanted to include it. So here's just some generalization on the neurosculpting process. It was not long ago that scientists and doctors viewed the brain as a finite organ, incapable of any kind of growth or evolution. We became what we are through genetics, and the patterns were simply there for good. You can't teach an old dog new tricks, and this kind of thinking served mightily, the Piscean mode of believing in limitations and hierarchy and survival of the fittest and power over and peace at any cost and separation and all of those familiar characteristics. And that was up until now. The energy of the times has reawakened a collective knowing that is yet to surface, but it will. The design is revealing itself slowly but surely. This whole course is about planting the energetic seeds that trigger the reawakening of the cellular template of I am that I am expressing as me. It is about shaking the trees and plowing up the soil of misbeliefs and distorted thinking. Why? Because the time is just right. The old institutions are being held together by stinking thinking and a posse of beliefs that are being picked off one by one to reveal what we have always been. The bottom line is that we are malleable, ever-oscillating, vibrant beings made of love and light, and sorry, but there is nothing that can contain that for long. Nothing. No belief system, no strategy is going to contain the reality of what you and I are, and that is a high, vibrating being of light. The doctrine of limitations paraded around as the unwavering truth by scientists and doctors and businessmen and politicians is fast becoming dust in the wind. The new revelations are cracking the foundations upon which we have stood, thank God. The brain and the mind are malleable. That which we consider unchanging is like plastic that can be sculpted into new forms. Neuroplasticity is the brain's ability to rewire and create new circuits or neural pathways at any age as a result of input from the environment and our conscious intentions. Hear that statement, at any age, it says. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Damn it, I'm just getting old and there ain't nothing I can do about it. These things cement a life into place. They cement a form of life into place. Nothing is, I'll say the word, nothing is sacred anymore in the sense that it is untouchable. No idea is worth not looking at. Even the ones that were purporting to be the way things are in these new times. I'm not saying just buy into this stuff all the time. I'm saying look at it, see how it resonates, make it yours. And that's why I say over and over that all I'm doing is delivering codes. I'm delivering bits of information that will trigger the awareness and the application in you on a very deep cellular and visceral level that has been waiting for a long, long time to do so. And it is in your hands to do something with it. I was having a discussion, was it last week or something, about teaching and just the nature of that. Maybe it was a call I was on. Maybe it was today. But the nature, the whole nature of teaching and how we've, you know, the teachers are supposedly special and they isolate themselves and they buy their own press and they manipulate and take advantage. Not all, of course, but they do that. And they hold themselves above everything and they make the information, they make the knowledge, the element that separates them from everyone else. And they hold high to the high and mighty energy that they are the best at what they do. Who cares? Who cares? We're exchanging information here. We're learning the truth of our beings in a process, and all information is free, and all information is exchangeable. So to be so caught up in our own woundings and our own lack of sense of self and the lack of value to have to lord over people with our knowledge. I'm talking from an understanding of this because when I first started this New Age path, and I've shared this before and it's worth repeating again, I used this information. I used it for convenience. I used it to separate from people. I used it to lord over people. I didn't think I did it on purpose. I thought I was coming from a decent place, but the impact was strong. The impact is, you know, there's debris all over the place as a result of some of the choices I made. Just because it's a high-frequency thought doesn't necessarily mean that we know how to use it. And this is why right now, you know, we're not talking to 1,000 people on this call, because not everybody's ready to awaken to a new frequency. Those that are here. And in that process of awakening, you're creating a collective vibration that is way more powerful than any single teacher could ever possibly put out. So if you've been caught up and seduced by giving your power to somebody who had some information, stop it. Stop it. What a self-discount that is. Sorry, I'm getting into something here. I'm neurosculpting some new pathways. I'm talking to myself, too. You know, we give our power away too easily, and that's an old belief system, and that's a way we keep buying favors. And every time we do, we tell ourselves to sit in the corner. We tell our precious self to sit down and shut up and just speak when they're spoken to. And we keep feeding them information in the form of Gerber's or Dr. Spock, you know, milk formula, whatever it's going to be. Wherever the woundings are, we put these pieces in place and we keep perpetuating them so subtly now. So I say to me and I say to you and anyone within hearing distance, stop it. It really is coming down to our power to stop it, and we can. We can stop it. Neurosculpting is based on the knowing that change and flow are constant and that nothing is immune to the process. Nothing. Consciously engaging the process to impact an identified limitation in thinking, belief, or action results in a new relationship with self, with life, and the forms that show up. We can alter the physicality of the brain and the nervous system to create new passageways of potential and form within us that will attract the like vibration expressions in the outer. When a neural pathway loses its source of nourishment, it dies. In its place, new pathways and actions are formulated out of the higher vibrational thinking. Life changes and feeds us. Is this intriguing? If so, then it's going to require some action. Every belief that you and I carry was put into place through a process that we were not aware of, and yet we were very loyal to. We talked about it last week. It's based on some level of awareness, some level of repetition, some willingness to buy into something through the reinforcement of it over and over till it became what we do, and then to attach to it as if it was the very essence of who we are or were. Every one of those beliefs is up for tossing. And this is why last week when we concluded the call, and I don't know how many were able to do this, but is to begin to take stock of what the beliefs are. What are your beliefs? What do you hold sacred? And being honest with one another are the critical elements here, because it's the subtleties and the nuances of the ones that we're afraid to even admit to ourselves that are the ones that are the insidious elements that are robbing us of our passion and our joy and the, you know, the things that we desire the most. So to look at how we seduce ourselves and to look at how we so quickly and subtly impact our lives by a choice made that really is an old survival decision made. Taking stock is a powerful process. And in a sense, that's what we're having to do here. If you really want to get it, you take stock and go, okay, I see you. Yeah. That's why in many ways it's so free for me to talk about some of this crap that I've done in my life. My God, I'm no saint. I've got a lot of things that have been brought up, that have been not only through these calls, but through the work that I've done. And I'm not afraid to share anything because I see the folly of holding on to it as if it's some treasure. Well, it's a treasure because it only keeps... No, it's not. I can't even come up with a reason for it to be a treasure. Well, in that it reveals the essence of who we are eventually, if we allow it to. So let me just tell you what's on the rest of this page. There's a morning regimen that this particular author, and her name is Lisa Wimberger. And in it, it's very interesting. In order for the brain to get used to doing things differently, you force it to do different things by very specific activities. It involves a lot of non-dominant stuff. If you look at yourself and take a video of you over the course of the day, you begin to see that you do things a certain way. You have certain strategies that are familiar. You have certain ways of doing things. You comb your hair with you brush your hair with your dominant hand. You know, you do things with the one hand and the other hand sort of goes along for the ride. And sometimes when you change the form of how you even cross your legs, it feels weird. But the point of this work is to actually create the fertile ground of the mind to be receptive to change is by doing the things that seem weird. Because the very act of right now of just taking your hands and folding them, finger within finger, interlaced, if you don't even pay attention, they're going to fall into place in one way. In mind, the left hand is overlapping the right hand is underneath, and that feels like the way it's supposed to be. But if I just go ahead and shift everything, you know, from the left hand down one, and then I put my hand together with the right hand over the left, all of a sudden I'm going, ooh, this is crazy. This is not the way it's supposed to be. And at first blush, basically, I'm feeling a great deal of discomfort. But even as I talk and hold this position, I'm beginning to feel more comfortable with it. I'm beginning to feel like it's okay. So I let go of it and go back to my familiar. Still feels familiar. Go back to the unfamiliar with the other one on top now. Hey, that feels okay this time. Doesn't feel exactly like the first one, but it's getting closer. So I release and go back to my preferred way. Boy, that one almost doesn't feel as comfortable anymore. And then I go back to the new way. Wow. And I'm doing this for the first time here. I like this one better right now. So you see how quickly my neural pathways have been adjusted. So now I have a mutual comfort and an experience with either way. And that just took that moment in time, that bit of a short time of three repetitions for me to suddenly be okay with that. So what Lisa is putting in here with the morning regimen is opportunities for you to create the receptivity, which is a fertile ground for the plasticity and the sculpting to take place. You create the mood first by doing something like that. Then the brain is basically like a dog that you're petting on the belly, and all of a sudden they just get wide open and they're ready for new input. And so that's when we feed new information in. That's when we feed the new idea in. That's when we say things like nothing is as it seems, and we go, yeah. And most things don't matter. Yeah. How does it get better than this? Yeah, I like that one. bring it on. And I put my hands together and I change the position. And all of a sudden, I'm so comfortable with this right now that I don't think it's really causing my brain to be receptive anymore. So I have to go to another one here. And what's that going to be? She says, brush your teeth with your non-dominant hand and think about one of your favorite mantras. Do a five-minute gratitude meditation in the shower that looks something like this, and she delineates it out. Eat a balanced breakfast on a plate at a table after saying a brief statement of gratitude for the food. Break the routine is what is being offered here. And on she goes through the afternoon and then even into the evening of a suggested series of things that one can do, that you can do to create fertile ground for you to begin to allow the brain to create new neural pathways. And in the process of doing so, we weed out those things that no longer serve us. She included here, as we go down the list, some daily mantras. And these are very different mantras. I release attachments to unattained dreams and open up to the infinite possibility ahead of me. Or another, as other situations have come and gone, so will this one. We forget in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the challenge of what we're in, that everything that we've had up to this point in terms of a similar energy or a conflict has always passed like the clouds in the sky. And yet this one is the different one. This is the one that's going to stay forever, because isn't that the great fear? When I have these elements of facial twitching that I've had here for a period of time, and it's a particularly challenging moment with it, the fear is that it's always going to be that way. And so I have to breathe into it, and now I've got a new strategy that I do something different. I fold my hands differently. I keep doing these things that open my mind up to be more elastic, and I sort of undo the pattern that is in place that has been the knee-jerk response. No, the knee-jerk reaction to the stimulus, because this is what we're doing. Self-pity is just a limiting choice from this infinite number of choices I have in this moment. What a beautiful statement. When I catch myself in my pity party on my own pot, going, I just can't do this, and yay, it's good to get the emotion out and to honor it, but to stay there, what does that serve? Last night I saw the movie... new Tom Hanks movie about the Berlin Wall and the Francis Powers, the U-2 pilot, and the exchange of the Russian spy. And this Russian spy was a very interesting man, and Tom Hanks asked him multiple times, are you worried? And I believe the guy just said, will it help? What a great question to ask ourselves when we choose our familiar pattern for things. Is this going to serve me this time? Will this help me this time? Will this create a different result for me this time? If not, you have an entire universe of possibility, and tonight we're going to reawaken an empowerment that gives that to us, gives access to those things. On here, there are a whole bunch of things called weekly brain changers. You can, if you get involved in this, you can actually start to work with them a lot. There's just questions about things. For example, what makes your vacation self so expansive, joyful, and full of permission? If indeed that's the case, that when you are on vacation, you are like a teenager that just got let out early, or it's the first day of summer, or whatever it's going to be, as opposed to your chaotic self. Or your stressed out self. I find it remarkable that we can be in the midst of our own personal chaos and really doing our own pity party and in our angst and even in tears, and then somebody walks into the room and we suddenly can stop all of that and then be very cordial and connected to someone as if nothing's going on. And then when they're gone, we get right back to the old energy. I find that interesting. The thing that I think we fail to notice is how malleable we are and how quickly we can change. And it's very believable, and it's actually very accurate. What experiences give you the clarity and drive to change what you've always done? Where do you find strength to dive into the unknown and rise up with integrity? These are not simple questions. They require some reflection, and they invite reflection. And I guess that's why she's calling them weekly brain changers. Spend a whole week with one of these. What could be different about a person's mental healing if the body world is incorporated as the organ that expresses the mind state rather than as an unconscious container? Whew! That opens a door. What thoughts are you thinking that are communicating danger and dis-ease to your own body? How well are you there for those around you in need? What if you knew exactly where a food came from, what went into the life cycle of that meal, and all the hands involved in getting the food to our plate? How would we eat differently if we had an in-depth relationship to the food we consumed? What more could you notice about the wonders of life? What if you realize the more you know, the more there is to know and experience? I really invite you to play with us. I really invite you to exercise your mind. Yeah, crossword puzzles are great, but these exercise all elements of the brain. They have all the sides, the right brain, the left brain, and very specifically some of the things that she does, because they involve elements that are very right brain as well as the left. They really exercise the complete brain as well as the collecting corpus callosum across the middle of it. It's very exciting, and what that does is prepare the matter. It prepares the tofu-like substance for brand-new neural pathways that happen in a flash, and they just have to be fed. So here are, she says, practices to support plasticity, and this is a great list. Squeeze the shampoo bottle with the opposite hand. Fold your laundry in a different way. Choose a new route to work. Hold your car keys in the opposite hand. Turn your coffee cup so the handle is on the opposite side. Remember the funniest stories at least once a day, or watch something that gives you a real belly laugh. Have someone you trust walk you around by the arm with your eyes are closed. Use your non-dominant leg to start your climb. Sleep on the other side of the bed. When clasping your hands, position your fingers in a unique way like we did. Count your money with a non-dominant hand. Water your plants with a non-dominant. Reverse the order of your morning face and teeth routine. Brush your teeth before you pee, for example. And then she ends up with a great set of elements here that I think are very powerful, and I included them verbatim. When I put this together in a printed form, of course, I will only use a few and claim them, et cetera, et cetera. But in this form for this class, I wanted you to have access to some of the resources that I found to be useful. These inquiry exercises are basically a statement about something and then a question about it. For example, she says, we have more neural pathways devoted to noticing what's wrong rather than what's right. We build our experiences off these pathways, which then build our implicit memory, the part of us that includes our expectations, models of relationships, emotional tendencies, and outlooks on life. Implicit memory creates what it feels like to be you. Ensure you build your experiences off what's right about the world rather than what's wrong. It's your job to create and increase your positive implicit memory. So the question is, what can you do today to identify what's right in the world rather than what's wrong? That complete shift of focus can have a profound impact upon not only the moments of living through the day, but on what you focus on and what is brought into your life. It is simply principle then. It is simply the laws of the cosmos taking action. What is it you bring your awareness to? What is it you focus on? She gives you substance and relationship to neural work and all of this and brain work, and then gives you a question loosely and sometimes very related to what it is. This is a treasure here. This is a treasure of things that I really invite you to utilize and take advantage of. All right, let's let that go. Let's move into affirmations and proclamations here. Let's do a couple of these. And in the middle of here from my good friend Zakai Aram, from his great book, which is like a handbook for the ascension or something of that sort. Great resource. Get it from Australia on the internet. Or you can just pay attention to the things that I use from it here. The Addiction Releasing Decree. I'm going to read it. You're invited to read it with me. You see a blank space in the middle of it there. It's talking about what your attachment to, and you can fill in the blank of what that particular thing is. It says, by divine decree, with the power of God, Goddess, my own God presence, and all the healing forces, I now completely release all vows and agreements and attachments to. I release to the light all disembodied spirits, implants, programs, beliefs that are supporting and maintaining this addiction. I release all genetic programming associated with this addiction, and I send healing energies throughout my entire soul and genetic lineage in relation to this addiction. I call also upon the Arcturians to release all vows and agreements in any aspect of myself or anyone in my genetic lineage has in relation to this addiction. I ask for complete karmic absolution for myself and all aspects of myself, including my genetics, across space, time, and dimension. I call upon Saint Germain's violet fire to clear all of the residue and toxins from this addiction. I now open up to invoke all divine possibilities to replace this addiction, providing higher perceptions of reality and divine connections to the true love that I am. And so it is. So it is. And let's do the super-duper negative contract and agreement release. Why not? Why not? Take a breath, if you will. Speak your true name on the count of three. One, two, three. Mark Stanton Welch. Here we go. Either listen or join with me. By divine decree, in the name of God, Goddess, I am under the law of grace. I now break any contracts or agreements that I or any of my soul extensions have made in any time, space, or dimension with any beings who are not of the seventh dimension or above and anchored in the Christ consciousness of the heart, one heart. I call to all my soul extensions to break all contracts and agreements with me now. I command through the full love, light, and power of my God presence any soul extension that refuses to break these to be released from the realm they hold these contracts through by my God presence and be placed in a healing cocoon in a source dimension until all contracts are freed so these do not affect me. Through the power of my God presence, I now command that all energies that I may have received or any of my soul extensions have received in their energy bodies through any negative agreements be now released from me and their bodies, creating freedom within me and for my soul. I ask for the clearing of any thought forms that I have received through this and the release of the negative emotions connected to this through all my soul extensions and myself being placed in the healing chamber in relationship to this. I ask that all beings connected to this be focused on with love, light, and grace of the karmic board, Archangel Michael, and the legions of light until this is fully resolved through all dimensions, time, and space. I call for karmic absolution for me and all souls connected to me with this. Through universal law and the full power of my God presence, I now manifest and seal this decree three times. Through the law of grace and manifestation, I now break all contracts and agreements through all time and space. I now break all contracts and agreements through all dimensions. I now break all contracts and agreements that have bound me through limitation. Liberation, 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 and so it is. Nice. Forgive me, I may have to proofread these. I just borrowed them from the resource I had, and looks like the proofreading thing was left to Archangel Michael, who is notoriously not really good at these kinds of things as far as writing. Just kidding. Let's scoot down to one of Rich's works here. Actually, let's do all three, myths and beliefs. From the divine love that flows within my being, I command that all laws I have owned, created by misperceptions, misconceptions, and confusion, manifesting myths and disbeliefs in my consciousness, be transmuted into truth and understanding and embraced in unconditional love. I open my consciousness to accept only truth from the knowledge and wisdom within, and so it is. Now for doubt and indecision. From the divine love that flows from within my being, I command that all thought patterns and energy systems created in all dimensions, on all levels of consciousness, that created doubt and indecision or otherwise interfere with my ability to move from one level of consciousness to another, be transmuted into empowerment and embraced in unconditional love, and so it is. And finally, with my thought forms, I command all thought forms I have created on all levels of consciousness, past, present, or future, be transmuted into the divine expression of creative love, embraced into my oneness, bringing completion to those energies I have created in a manner that brings joy to all aspects of my being, and so it is, and so it is, and so it is. Please understand that these statements, these empowerments, they may sound funny to your conscious mind. Funny, they may sound odd, they may sound way too new agey. But there's so much going on in all of these statements. It is approaching so many different levels of awareness and invitation and proclamation and commanding for certain changes to take place. So the point of it is that we hold to the notion that something is happening here, and then we wait for results with anticipation, not expectation. Why not? All right, let's move down to empowerments. Actually, let's go to directly below applying your awareness of belief paradigms. And I want to go through a couple of these elements. These are the three of them are very specific tools, and then the top one is reminders of some consciousness. To create change, one must move to break the habit of being yourself and reinvent a new self. And it looks like there's a list of things in order to create change. Lose your mind and create a new one. Prune synaptic connections and nurture new ones. Unmemorize past emotions and recondition the body to a new mind and emotions. That's a very interesting way to put that, to unmemorize a past emotions. Here's what can happen with emotions that have run amok. In other words, emotions that have not been allowed to have their full process of activation and then release, is they begin to get enmeshed with one another. And because of the enmeshment, they have certain responses, they have certain activity that they do that we begin to get familiar with. And in the process of becoming familiar, we essentially memorize the sensation and then use it to trigger a particular result that we have bought into for whatever reason we choose. So to unmemorize past emotion is to separate from that form that we have decided and invested energy into, and therefore programmed a consistent reaction to it. So what we're doing by unmemorizing is letting go of the form of and the attachment to that emotion. The emotion by itself is not in any way a negative thing. It is a movement of pure energy that is a part of this dimensional existence here. And it manifests in itself as it comes through the backside of the second chakra, through each of the frontal chakras, where it is utilized as either anger, fear, joy, sadness, or grief, or any of the permutations of those. So we are not in any way judging the emotion. We are taking the ride and experiencing for what it is and what it reveals to us. That is the invitation here. So we go on to change. You let go of the past to create a new future via the now. deprogram and then reprogram. One interesting way to do deprogramming is to go ahead to the top of the page here and look at these lists from the Piscean of the old paradigms that we have been under the influence of. And look honestly at each one of those and just really look and see what the impact has been for you, and then decide whether that's worth continuing or not, or whether it's time to open up to new possibilities, in which case you then look at the new belief paradigms to consider sex in there, where it talks about what's occurring in these times. It is coming down to the point that we can do these things with attention and little effort that will create results. With every new opening you and I have, it makes going back much more difficult. And by not going back, what we do is we invite new forms into this life. To change and to clear the old energy, to stop the unconscious filtering of new energy which builds discernment and will. By clearing the old energy, it stops the unconscious filtering of the new energy. I hope you understand what I'm saying there. The old energy acts as a mask, and the new stuff that comes in that we hold on to gets sent right through that cesspool. It's like filtering ponds at the sewer. All the shit goes into one big old vat. And it's there, and everything that's within it begins to separate, and it changes forms. But it's going to be consistent to what it is because it's all being thrown into the same pot. I'm not sure that's the best of analogy of that. All right. The unconscious filtering of the new energy, because the unconscious filtering is what gets in the way and forces things to take on the characteristics of what is already there, which then creates opportunities for explosion. But the process of clearing the old energy builds the muscles of discernment and will. We get into change by becoming a competent observer and focus on facilitating a new pathway. This is a process of breaking addiction to the body, the environment, and to time. This is a very interesting statement. The addiction is the desire to get a consistent result that typically masks a feeling, a sensation, or something that belief that we are turning away from. We use the addiction, which is the excessive attention, for the same result. And sometimes we can become addicted to the body sensations. We can become addicted to what happens when we do certain things. We can become addicted to the actual environment that we are in, so that we begin to restrict ourselves. If we are housebound, we have certain places, certain chairs that have a collective energy that seems to serve us. But really, you know, you and I have already talked about this, the comfort zone. At the very least, do something different in the name of creating a more malleable brain that will allow these new ideas to come in. So it says that this all of these things will result in closing the gap between how you appear and who you are. Because very often for most of us, those are two different things, or at least they have some similarities, maybe they have many, but they are not exact. And we want to move the gap. Okay, here's a very interesting exercise that I invite you to do tonight or tomorrow or wherever you go from now on. It says, walk like a master. Now, a master is one who understands all the principles and is capable of putting these things into action and is capable of being completely in center, capable of being completely in alignment no matter what the circumstance is. So you find out what that means for you and start to walk as if you're a master and start paying attention to what happens. It's powerful. It's a powerful as-if game, changing energetic patterns in the process. When you do, your senses open up. Your breathing changes, becoming deeper and more intentional. Your body absorbs more life force energy. You allow more into your physical body. More cosmic energy comes in, followed by crystal energy, followed by your core energy. Get into it, for it is your passion and radiance that creates reality more than mind and thought. If you act like a master, then you are calling that frequency forward. It's like you are claiming it from a place beyond to come and be present with you right now, which then moves us into the bottom there where it says the Merlin effect. The Merlin effect is visiting your past self and your future self. You visit the past self in compassion to heal and clear up trauma points, issues, misconceptions, and woundings, letting you see new potentials free of the past energetic influence. And when you do that, it impacts the now moment, which then gives you a different ticket to the future. We go back and we hold presence with these elements in the times that they occurred. In so doing, we witness ourselves back to a new energy. With the compassionate heart, we sit there in the space of our own woundings and we just give ourselves the love that we deserve and we desire and have not received in many instances. We do that, and it changes how things show up in the now for us because it alters the energy we contain within us that has set the patterns into place. And the degree to go into the future self, this is where we again claim the master. So it says, breathe consciously for about 10 minutes, bringing a state of relaxation. Allow yourself to feel the presence of your future self. Feel the love. Feel the wisdom and the grace in the moment. And let this part of you remind you and reveal to you your master self that already exists. This will remind you and assure you that no matter the forms of the moment, it will work out in your higher frequency favor. All is well indeed. I have some empowerments that I want to go through here and lead you through at least a couple of them. That's why I went quickly through these, but they are very powerful processes that I invite you to play with. The other one and the third one there, the tool of allowing, read through that and apply what you choose to. Now, in the empowerments, basically I'm going to walk you through an experience. So I invite you to just get yourself in a relaxed state. Take a sip of water if you need it. Get seated so that you're comfortable in your chair or wherever you are, on the floor, or wherever it is. And just a bit of information before it begins. This one is called Pictures on the Wall. Compassion for self will result in a stronger foundation of self-worth. Most of what was done, chosen, and acted upon was done for survival purposes by the part of you that was the least informed, your child self. So it is. That is a mindset. I want you to just take a breath now and just see yourself in a structure. There's a lot of wall space. And the walls are full of pictures of your life, memories of the forms that birthed the choice, the belief, the pattern that has become, well, just the way it is for you, or the way I am. These are simply adjustments, forced decisions to get through a challenge, perceived or otherwise. Most of these decisions are not true in the way that they have been remembered. Each picture on the wall is a representation of a moment in time, sealed into a frequency that resists examination and change. Looks like I'm still setting the mindset here. The perspective that is the key to it all is a shell of the truth that it contains. So these pictures on the wall are representatives of moments of our time. Let me get clear on this. Each picture represents a moment in time sealed into a frequency that resists examination and change. This is dealing with memories. Memories are very selective in terms of how they show up. They reinforce what it is that wherever our mindset is at the time. So what we're being asked to do is to call forth, and in this case, we may not have time to go through all seven, but we can at least go through one. So here's what I'm going to invite you to do. I invite you to put on the wall 7 pictures of significant and impactful events in your life that have either steered you away from your path, wounded you to initiate some form of personal giving up, surrendering, or show places where you decided that this is how life is, come hell or high water. So for our intents and purposes now, you may see 7, but all I want you to do is focus on one of them. Breathe and relax and call forth your whole self by name, Mark Stanton Welch. Invite your child self to be present as a companion. However you do that, please do it. Now he or she has a red wagon at the ready. So look at the 7 pictures one by one. Or look at the one picture. Breathe into the moment as it is remembered and as it was. Which may be 2 different things. So connect with the picture and then one by one. Let's do this as if there were 7 pictures there, even though you haven't connected. You're going to take each picture off one by one. You're going to remove them from the wall and hand them to your child self. And he or she will put them in the red wagon. These pictures of a pivotal element, a pivotal time, a pivotal experience, a pivotal decision made is now captured in the form of a picture. You give it to your child self. She puts it in the wagon. When all 7 are in the wagon, then you and your child cover them with a violet cloth, a purple cloth. And with you speaking your name out loud 7 times, your child will pull the wagon around you in 7 circles. You can go left, you can go right, whatever you choose to have her do. We're speaking the name slowly as the child moves around you in a circle with the wagon that is covered by the purple, the violet cloth. You can hear the wheels on the ground. Mark Stanton Welch. 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 In so doing, we're going to now see that the violet cloth is turned into flame of violet, purple, and gold. And this flame is basically burns through all of these pictures, transforming them into the higher vibrational memory of the grand perspective. Each picture is transformed into a bigger perspective. Beyond the wounding of the moment, the angst of the moment, the intensity of the moment that appeared first as the memory in the frame. Let the violet flame, the purple flames, the gold flames burn through all of those, and then they will go out by themselves. And when they have gone out, you invite your child self to take the pictures these new pictures, these grand perspectives of the event itself, and hand them to you one by one. And you place them on the wall. Now, with them all back on the wall, I invite you to lift up your little child into your arms. And kind of sitting there on your hip, you both look at each of the pictures. And notice very interestingly that the event is really now without hurtful and lower vibrations. It is really now just a collective experience that both of you have had. And there is wisdom there now, gifts of the higher perspective. And for a moment, just look at the picture that you actually had put into place, not the other ones that we didn't put anything into yet. And let come to mind whatever comes to mind, with you saying something, exchanging with your child self, then your child offers a perspective on it as well. Back and forth you go two times. What is it that you see? What is the wisdom? What is the gift of this picture now, of this experience that has been cleaned and cleared to reveal the higher purpose of it? And now, upon completion, simply give gratitude for the experience, for the new awareness, for the connection between the two of you, and set your child on the floor. And taking her by the hand, you both turn and head to some place of joy that you both want to go to. You know where that is. And behind you there lies a memory that is transformed into an experience of wisdom, a gift of your higher self of the cosmos that gave you clarity on something that had impacted you and in fact may have even put a decision in place that became a belief over time. That belief has been undermined, and whatever was there is no longer there. It is done, and so it is. There are three other empowerments. One is called Purifying Thought and Belief Chakra Empowerment. The other one is From Victim to Co-Creator. And the third is, okay, now let's reframe that. I want to walk us through the Purifying Thought and Belief Chakra Empowerment. This is an extension of something that was done through the chakra classes, and I'm going to invite us to do it. It involves the backside of the solar plexus. It involves the heart chakra, the throat chakra, the third eye chakra, front and backside. And it involves a connection of spiritual points on the outside that are interfacing with the backside chakras. So I will walk you through this. We have about 9 minutes to do this. I invite you to breathe three breaths into your belly. Deep, full, rich, cleansing breaths. And bring your attention to the back side of the solar plexus. And I invite you to visualize and actually feel a silver cord entering the back at the solar plexus there from a place of light about 7 feet from your body. And through this cord comes a pure potential and the vibration of wisdom and idea unfiltered by you, containing the infinite potential as called forth by your higher self. It is filled with this vibration, a constant flow of fertile idea. Now I invite you to intend and then feel that cord entering in that space behind to fuse with the membrane that separates the front and the back right at the spinal cord. You may be feeling a sensation right now at that particular space behind the solar plexus. Now feel this vibration starts to move upward through the heart itself, then through the throat, up higher to enter the pituitary gland and to reside directly at the in-between place from the front and back chambers of that pituitary. Now pull a pink-green light from the heart and have it wash straight up through the pituitary gland, cleansing both chambers to a crystal sheen. Consider the pituitary gland to be just straight up from that line from the solar plexus at the spine, straight up through the heart, straight up to the throat chakra, to the mid of the brain. Holding that awareness now, visualize a cord of blue coming from a light about 7 feet off the body and entering the back side of the throat at the neck to fuse with the membrane between the front and back sides of the throat chakra. And in so doing, this fuses with the pink and green light that is coming up through the heart to the pituitary. And now do the same for the back of the third eye chakra, using a rich white-laced indigo color to enter through the pituitary and rest at the point between the chambers of the pituitary. And now consciously bring that pink and green light up again through the heart, through the throat, where it unites with the blue energy of the throat, the blue color, to enter into the pituitary with the white-laced indigo. And the combination of these colors completely fills up both chambers of the pituitary. And let it fill until a white light bursts out from the front of the pituitary, piercing the third eye. It gets so full of this vibration that it just has to burst, and it sends straight out from the front through the third eye, out in a projection that sprays itself out like a cone. To seed the field with an intention that is yet unnamed. Now, in sequence, that white light that was flying out of there also begins to head back down and descends to fill the throat chakra, again bursting out through the front side. And now again, like a cone, it sprays out and pushes itself out into expression. A sound is heard, a sound that is for you, a sound is heard. Now follow this with the white light ascending, accessing the sinoatrial point at about 1 o'clock in the heart. And as it does, integrate with that particular point, it opens a dimensional conduit like a portal of light moving off at a 45-degree angle straight out from the front upward. From that point in the heart, it moves out at a 45-degree angle upward. That light, intersecting with both the throat and the third eye, beams. Then breathe in and allow that and follow the white light as it enters the solar plexus again to burst forth in a wide conical wash from the front, just like the others. At this point, you have the silver cord at the back of the solar plexus, at the back of the throat, at the back of the third eye, coming from separate sources of vibration about 7 feet away from the body in any direction. The vibration runs from the solar plexus up through the heart with the light, the green and the pink light gathered at the heart, and it intersects with the blue light of the throat, into the pituitary where it mixes in both chambers with the white-laced indigo. And the beams, the piercing, the beams in conical form that are spreading out through the third eye, through the throat chakra, at 45 degrees up from the heart, intersecting with those two beams out the eye and the throat. And then beneath it is the widening spray of the solar plexus. Now quickly bring your attention to your feet and ground the experience with the statements of your birth name. Mark Stanton Welch. Everything you require for clear thinking and forming aligned beliefs is now in place. The idea as potential enters the back of the solar plexus. It rides the clear thinking and forming aligned beliefs. It rides the light upward through the heart where it is seated with compassion, love, and the highest good. Moving upward, it activates the throat where it sparks a series of spontaneous sounds which direct the idea to the pituitary window. It directs the idea to the pituitary window where it is fused with the infinite possibilities available to your frequency coming in through the backside of the third eye chakra. And then it is sent as an intentional vision into activation and subsequent magnetic attraction into the perfect sustainable form. Breathe in, and as you exhale, send the breath through all of the elements involved in this. Know it continues to serve your ideas into activation. A strategy is in place to seed your ideas, to fertilize them with high consciousness, a process that will put them into expression as the vision, into form through the throat, through the sound, into action through the solar plexus, washed into frequency of love and higher frequency that allows them to be for the highest good of all involved. This is the kind of thinking, the kind of belief that you want to send out. It will form, help you form the beliefs. It will help you form your ideas. Play with it, make it your own. And so it is. And so it is, and so it is. Bring your awareness back to your present self. Bump your feet on the ground a couple times. Speak your birth name, 1, 2, 3, Mark Stanton Welch. Take a breath. Ah. Shrug your shoulders. Be present. We begin creating fertile ground for our beliefs to take hold. Please take time and go through any of these activities. Go through any of these suggestions. Make them your own. Create your own. Next week, we will revisit some additional elements here and work through them. And we will approach the section on additional exercises, and there will be one on strategies for re-educating the self, on heart centering, on the subconscious, the place where it all happens, some basics for the emotional freedom technique, using brain states to change beliefs, exercising and planting the fertile ground of gratitude, using mantra and chants and intentional songs, in other words, repeating your way to a new paradigm, and a brief exploration of neuro-linguistic programming and how we can use it to alter our thinking strategies and put in new beliefs. The bottom line is awareness. Awareness precedes action. It's essential that each of us find what doesn't work for us anymore and be honest with ourselves. Look for the nuances of how we impact ourselves physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. How we limit ourselves. What are those beliefs in that long list of the Piscean models that we've all been through so many times that still have a hold upon us? Be honest. Circle them. Make a note of them. Those have to be acknowledged and released. And then bring into the fertile ground through using your non-dominant hand. Before you do any of these things about bringing things in, use your non-dominant hand and shift and make the brain open up to the possibilities so that it becomes fertile ground for these new ideas. And choose the ones that speak to you out of the new paradigms that are there and begin to put them in through repetition. Choose one at a time. Repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. Make it a daily activity. Make it all through the day. Repeat it. Or do a series of them. You choose. But what we're doing here, even if you choose to do nothing, is making you aware of your own process of how you have set these elements in place and that you now have capacity to make the changes. Nothing is in cement. Nothing. All right. We are done now. Thank you so much for being part of this tonight. And I thank you for your flexibility with extending one more session next week with this work because I believe it is so important. These are strategies that will continue to serve us through all of the elements that we have gone through so far. And if you're sitting around with nothing to do, walk back through all that we've done. Reacquaint yourself with the new information that came to you and reflect on what you've done with it so far, how you've applied it to your frequency, and notice the results. Maybe you'll pick up something that you are ready to work with. It is a privilege to be here to share and to be a part of this process with you. Thank you for continuing to be a part of it. I will get the link out as quickly as possible. Well, actually, all that the link will have right now is just the download session for part 2. So Now you have all the information and the way to actually continue doing the exercises themselves. So, endless blessings to you, and enjoy your thinking, and enjoy rummaging through those old belief systems, because it is a time of change. So, stay on the line for any comments or questions for just a moment, and then I'll end the recording. Blessings to everyone. Okay, we are done now. Next week.